Episode 17, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
Hey, it's the new year.
Welcome to 2020.
2020.
So much better than last episode.
And into the 99.
Yeah.
Yes. Welcome to Into the 99, where we have 99 cards, because Commander is number one. I am one of your hosts, Sherman.
I'm Hope.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Brian.
Brian.
Yeah, I'm not drunk this time. Yeah. It shall be a good episode.
It should be a good one.
All right. It will be a good episode. It's an exciting one. First
Bring
one
back
of the
drunk
year.
Brian 2020.
I wholeheartedly disagree. Not on podcast.
Let's not promote that. All right, so let's get this show on the road here. Daniel actually had the idea for this one for first episode of the year.
A great idea, actually.
It's the Roaring Twenties.
Hey.
Yeah, Roaring Twenties.
I think it's
20s.
A very important topic.
And, as Daniel puts it, it was a time for gentlemen and suits. Unfortunately, none of us dressed up.
But you know your girl's getting a suit.
Oh, yeah.
Suits to Friday Night Magic?
Oh my God. I would, though.
I'm down.
Top hat, monocle it up.
I gotta get a top hat.
I think I will do that.
I can make a top hat. For sure.
Yeah, okay.
Let's do it. I just show up as Moxie. Anyways.
Wait, Daniel, you can't drink champagne in here.
But with sparkling apple juice. But because of all this, we do want to talk about overall the manners and game etiquette. Because there's some of us that know and some of us that aren't, you know, so knowledgeable about this stuff. Or sometimes we do stuff that we just didn't know. Isn't good.
Well, there's no
or
way
we know it's not good.
Oh yeah, we know it's not good.
But it's not even that. For a lot of people, the steps usually are that you start playing with some friends at home, and you develop your own kind of set of rules, your own way to play things.
You get used to it,
and you think that that's just the norm and stuff, and you translate that over into the game store. But when you're playing with a group of random people, suddenly maybe they're not okay with your six free mulligans.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know anybody that would ever try to get some free mulligans. Certainly not me.
I'd say what?
Certainly
who
not.
Better to go over game etiquette than Canadians?
Yeah.
We all start
the game checking if it's okay if we play our commanders. Say please and thank you.
Could I get a cut, A?
Can I counter the spell? Oh,
hey there,
no.
Bud.
Okay. Let's go on here. So we have a bunch of topics.
Oh, yeah.
So let's just start off with the first one we have here, and that is handling other people's cards. Because throughout the game, we are going to do this. Other people are going to do this. They're going to want to see your card, or you're going to want to see their card, on and on and on. Heck, you might even be borrowing someone's deck. Who
yep.
knows?
Yep.
Okay. So first thing you want to say is ask before you pick up.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't just grab the card or anything. You don't know if the card is expensive.
Or
you don't
even
want
sentimental.
Well, generally when you're asking to see a card, it's because you don't know what it does, which means you probably don't know it. So yeah, maybe if I'm playing Eureka, don't reach across the table and snatch it up.
Yeah. So, and then like, that's the thing. Like,
it's like an $800 card
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. It's on the reserve list, all that jazz, yada, yada, yada. But like, it's just like, you know, even for us, when we see a card that's really, really cool, we're like, yo, can we take a picture of this? It looks so great, especially the artwork, the special tokens people have. Even like the tokens, even if they're not in sleeves and everything, I'm really, really careful with them. Because like, once again, they spent money supporting an artist, mm-hmm. right? And I don't want to ruin it by accident. I'd feel so terrible about it.
Well, and for me, like, that's one way, like, as not to sound pretentious, but like as an artist, to see somebody like want to support an artist and want to support
it's
like
really
that
cool.
quality, like it's really cool. And like I understand how I would feel if somebody were to damage like artwork that I had bought or I had made. I'd be really
yeah.
upset.
A painting or something.
So
yeah.
Yeah, even if it only cost you 50 cents, you know, like it still has value.
Yeah, like even for me, like one of my favorite cards was a gift from my friend Cassidy. He had a Source Plowshares signed by Therese Nielsen.
Which
of
awesome,
course he
yeah.
did. That's awesome.
Yeah. And he just did it as a surprise for me. And like I had a really Aww. Bad day and he just gave it to me. And I you know, was in tears and everything because I had a really bad day. Right.
Well, another thing to remember too is while you're handling other people's cards, monetary value does not equal value to that person. Just because I have a $2,000 deck doesn't mean that someone's $50 budget deck is not valuable to them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all they can afford. Maybe, like you said, someone was going through a rough time and that's the deck that reminds them their friends came over and played with them. Yeah. Like, you can't determine the value just because value, something is $100.
Yeah, yeah. Sentimental value is equal or more or greater than monetary value in my mind.
Yeah. So just when you're, when just, you are handling them, make sure you are careful.
Yeah. And when you're handling, I don't know why people do this. Don't pull the card out of the sleeve.
There are slaves for a reason.
Yeah. It's like, if you want to know if it's real or a proxy, just ask. Okay.
Yeah. Like, test it like it's gold. I'm biting it. That checks out.
Like I've known some people, they take a card and they like pull it out to inspect it. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah, like, I have them double sleeve for a reason.
I think the worst that I've seen so far is people look at it and they're like,
they do the bend.
They do the bend. I'm just like,
I have to date never seen anyone do that. And that is why to date, no one has seen me jump across the table.
But it's not even just handing a card like that. Okay. Another thing that I want to point out is that when we're playing Magic and everything, sometimes they'll roll dices and everything. Sometimes they flip coins. Especially nowadays, like there's like the heavy metal dice.
Yeah,
those. And when people are rolling it, like I've seen people bring them in and they roll it on their playmat, and I'm fine with that. But sometimes they'll like roll it and I'll flick it high, and bam, it hits the cards, and I'm like, okay, that's your card. I'm fine with that. But if you do that to my cards.
When I bought the new Commander's decks, I got a Savine, and it had just a small crease in the card normally. That bugged me until I went and bought a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that was a prepackaged product. If somebody just like banged my cards up, like you said, rolling dice, I'd be pretty unhappy for the night.
Yeah.
Another thing we hadn't actually written down yet, but is someone at one point, I was playing Muldrotha. They hit Oblivion Sower. Oblivion Sower got my Bazaar of Baghdad. They had control of it, and lots of things in Magic give you control of things. Do not bend people's cards in half when you're putting them down to play. Because as soon as that happened, I just took it back. I was like, nah, you can make like a little token, go get a basic land or something. I was like, you're not touching this.
Yeah. No. Like, I know like it sounds satisfying to have that flicking sound and everything, but don't do, like, do that in your own cards, sure, but don't do that someone else's cards.
Well, it's like, when you see people when we're starting a game and they're like shuffling their deck as if it's like a
ripple shuffle and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay. And then they're like, oh, do you want me to cut it? Or and I'm just, can you just not shuffle it that way?
Just not touch
it. And most people are like, no, I don't do that over people's decks. But it's like, if someone was to actually do that, I'd be like, I don't know.
The cards are valuable. And at the end of the day, everyone is just going to have their own way of shuffling their cards. Just be gentle with other people's stuff.
Yeah,
regardless.
Or ask them, like, hey, I typically do it this way. Am I able to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes 2 seconds.
Well, because, yeah, like, that probably would set me off if somebody just...
my deck. That'd be crazy. So, well, let's keep on going, okay? Second point of etiquette is about if you're playing salty cards or a salty deck, expect to be targeted.
Do you get called out?
It's just a tad, but you know what?
It's the new year. We haven't called you out this year so far.
I made a...
Get it? Because okay.
I made a new deck yesterday, and I brought it out. It was Torbran. That's nice. Every red source deals 2 extra damage if it's to an opponent. And I put mana barbs on the table. And I died the turn after that happened.
Yeah.
Because I took...
Yeah, I think...
You took a lot of damage.
18 damage in one turn.
Just tapping mana.
Yeah. I made a deal with you, too, because I'm like, yo, Brian, like, if you do this, like, if I do this, you can kill this one person. And then Daniel dropped the mana barbs, and I'm like, hey, okay, let's switch up the deal. Let's kill Daniel. I'll get rid of Torbran, you kill Daniel, and then we won't take any more damage. And you got down to one life. Yep.
Did I want to keep playing my Torbran? Yes. Did I understand why I got hit for, I think, 90 with a consuming aberration?
Yes. Is it the same reason that you got your entire graveyard exiled when you were trying to constantly recur Dark Depths? Yes.
It could be. I don't know. I'm not in the mind of other players.
But that's the thing, though. Like, I really, really hate it when someone plays, like, let's say, like, you know, the Winter Orb Stasis combo kind. And they're like, why is everyone always targeting me? Blah, blah, blah.
All you're
blah,
doing
blah.
Is destroying my stuff. Yeah. Somebody did that. I was Firesong and Sunspeaker against, what's the new Urza? Against him, and I just kept killing Urza.
Yeah.
And it just kept making him furious. He could not understand. I was like, you're trying to wreck the game for everyone. He's like, oh, it slows everyone down. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't care. If you want to do this, you're going to suffer with us or stop doing it.
Yeah. Like you did the proper, in my opinion, you did the proper threat assessment. You're trying to move the game along. You're trying to excel yourself at the same time. It's like when we were playing yesterday, I brought out Chu Ling. You killed Chu Ling right away. I didn't have a chance to use him.
Oh, he's too powerful.
I just shrugged and like, whatever.
Yeah,
I'll just
you
wait.
That is a good point to this. Like, if you are playing things that you know are overly good against what else is on the board, you're in the strongest board state, or like you said, it's winter or stuff like that, expect it to be targeted. Don't be shocked. Don't be angry.
No. Yeah. Well, there's no different. Yesterday, same. Like, I brought out my dragon deck, which is like, I never do that, but I just thought it would be fun. And I got, what was I? I was something like turn 4 or 5, but I've had like, I was able to get some, like, CMC reduction things out, so I was able to drop, like, 6 and 7 cost dragons
super
early.
Yeah, it's turn 4, and she has Laughless 3 dragon
Colgan.
Tokens.
Yeah. Yeah, just and Elder Dragons.
Commanders. Yeah!
There's just certain commanders that you want to target, like, Atla and Tulane. Like, those really cheap commanders that just start to snowball so fast.
Well, yeah.
That means to die.
Even having Atla, I'm going to kill it.
Having Atla, like we've talked about in a previous deck tag, it can roll out huge creatures very
really fast.
Just like that.
You don't know if it's Eldrazi. You don't know if it's Angels. I love Dinosaur Roulette. Those are big creatures. You don't want to let a turn 3 Atla turn into a turn 4 Zatalpa.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if we're stopping you from your strategy, well, sorry, but it just means you got to come up with another strategy, or you got to strike a deal with someone else, or you got to do something else.
At the end of the day,
you got to switch it up.
At the end of the day, you're trying to beat people. You're still having fun. Don't be surprised when they're trying to beat you. Don't be cranky if somebody like you said, threat assessments. It doesn't matter if you feel you're the biggest threat at the table. You don't know what their deck is. And sure, maybe you're not the biggest threat at the table, but maybe my Boros soldiers can't deal with your constant board wipes later in the game or your tap down.
And that's the thing, like, you know, like, if you're throwing down, like, if you're playing a certain deck, like Brian Gordon choose you, just no offense. I'm not trying to call you out or anything.
I'm used to it. I play all group slug decks.
But let's say you play your Nekusar deck. Okay, so you're forcing us to draw cards and everything. And I need to keep cards in my hand so I can plan stuff out. Okay, you have like, you know, Teferi's Puzzle Box out. Okay, I need to figure out how to either get rid of you or get rid of Teferi's Puzzle Box so I can plan things out properly. Okay, you might not be the biggest threat, but you're the biggest threat to my strategy.
And that's the best thing to remember is that you can't decide at what point people should try and do it. You can make all the deals you want in Commander, but at the end of the game, only one player should remain. Stop being angry if it's not you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I play all group slug decks, so, like, I know that I'm usually typically, like, target number one or two.
I was gonna say, you probably don't make it to the end of a lot of games.
But you know what, like, I still gripe. I'm not gonna say that I don't. I still, like,
But I'm not getting overly upset.
Yeah, I'm not getting overly upset. I'm just making salty remarks.
Yeah.
They're flavored. Funny. Flavorful.
But but they're usually
IRL flavor text.
They're usually in good fun. Like, you're not an angry player when something happens.
So. No, you're not breaking dishes or, like, you know, throwing people through walls and all that stuff. You're not
throwing
a
card across the table. Yeah, like, it's
you're not a huge jerk about it. Yeah. You're not gonna, like, Hulk out, you're not gonna, like, you know, throw someone through a wall and all that jazz. You're not gonna be that big of a jerk, okay? Like, we all, like, whenever we play games, okay, there are gonna be times when we're filling in the dumps, we don't feel like we're doing well, we're not unhappy with what's going on. But at the same time, okay, it's just a game, okay? We have to remember that it is just a game. We're gonna have times when we do very, very well, when your combo just goes nuts and it explodes and everyone's like, yo, great job, clap, 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 you know, guff clap, everyone, yay! But then other times,
Spirit fingers.
Yeah. other times, you're just going to get hit so hard that all you do is put a land and say pass, land and pass, and that's it.
If you get that land.
That's very true. That is very true.
It might be nothing in pass.
In an example of last night, we had a CDH player came.
Yeah.
And he played the same deck. This is the second time that we've seen him. He played the same deck as he did the first time. So knowing win conditions, I was able to try to counteract what he was playing. But, like, he, in all I say, for a good sport, he didn't get upset about it. Like, he had a couple comments, but, like, they were all in plain fun.
Yeah.
Because he knows. He only brought one.
Yeah.
Can't switch it up.
But that's the thing, too. Like, if you're playing, like, a deck and we know, like, the strategy in the deck and we target certain combos on it, then don't get angry at that. It's just, we know that deck, okay? We know what it requires. We know what it takes and everything, you know? So, like, and, like, certain combos are out there where it's just, like, why would we let you have that in the first place, okay? If you have, like, a decree of, if you play Solemnity, okay, which Solemnity is basically a two in a white, okay, enchantment, and it says that you cannot put counters on creatures or cards or anything. Well, Planeswalkers still can, but you basically can't put counters on anything. And then if you try to put down Decree of Silence, where it says, like, you know, you counter a spell, and every time you do counter a spell, you put a counter on it, and once it gets to three, it gets destroyed. Well, Solemnity says, no, you don't have to put in counters. So now, no matter what, no one's allowed to play Magic except for the person that played it.
Yep.
I'm not going to let you have that. I don't care. I'm going to do everything in my power to get rid of it.
Some things are just degenerate. Like, if you see a food chain come out, it's not usually because they want to go and add one mana.
No, normally it's like combo off, you know, prosh,
Yeah, it's usually food chain, Eternal Scourge a million times, I have a million mana, here's prosh a million times.
Yeah. So
tell me more.
Oh, does it take that long? Oh, okay.
But that's the thing, like, if we're getting rid of certain combo pieces or anything, like, sorry, like...
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like the example I have here, okay, if we're not talking about Magic, okay, I'm going to talk about Mario Kart.
Yep.
Okay? Yes!
If you're in the lead in Mario Kart and I have that blue shell, I'm going to use it. You cannot be pissed off for me not using it, okay? Because if you're in the same situation, you'd be like, yeah, throw the
blue shell.
At the end of the day, you're still trying to win the game.
Yeah.
I think the best Magic is when everyone's having fun, everyone's playing just silly things, making deals. I love that. We had a really, really good time playing last night in, I think, our play groups.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, like it was fun seeing deals, even if those deals led to me dying.
Mm-hmm. Which they did a couple times.
I loved it still. I wasn't unhappy with it because that was fun. Mm-hmm. But I also understand inherently the game has to end at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, it can go on forever.
It can, but I don't want it to.
This is my Karn deck, and I'm just going to Karn the game.
Yeah.
Karn, Shaharizard, we're just going to keep playing.
No,
Shaharizard.
Shaharizard's a card that lets you play another sub-game. So you play another subset of a subset of a game, kind of deal.
I go and get a Pokemon card, I'm good.
Have you seen Shaharizard or no?
Any game.
You take everything in play, put it aside, start a new game, then the winner of that game gains like 5 life.
Yeah. It is banned for a reason.
It's stupid.
It is really stupid.
That's ridiculous.
It might be one of the dumbest cards ever printed.
I don't know. There's a lot of dumb cards. There are a lot. Let's keep on going, though, because we have so many points here.
Right.
Okay, don't be sorry.
Charizard. Next.
Charizard. Okay, so another thing we want to mention is if you're missing land drops or are mana flooded, don't sulk about it.
Yeah.
Okay? Just keep on playing. All right? Strike deals with other people. Yeah, you're open, but we're going to have some games where this is going to happen. Yeah. But if this happens to 50% of your games,
maybe
something's wrong.
Yeah, you got to change the deck up.
Yeah.
But if it's a one-off,
yeah,
treat it like it's a one-off, and then maybe look at your deck and say, ooh,
how the deck might play. Like,
I'm pretty light on low-cost stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe suddenly you need to get those first three turns something you can play, right? There's nothing wrong. If you want to run all 6 cost dragons, do it.
Yeah.
But don't be upset when you don't play something till turn 6.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you know, everyone talks, like, we're definitely going to talk about mana curves because, like, Everyone always talks about the same mana curve, and we are mostly in agreement here that there's not just one mana curve. There's like five or six main
types of mana curves. Yeah, what's actually effective, what isn't.
Yeah, okay. But it depends on the strategy of the deck, okay? It's sort of like with the Jota deck from Tyrone, okay? His mana curve is way off the charts. But it's because his strategy is based around cheating those things out, okay? If you're playing something like that, then yeah, your mana curve is going to be different. But if you have a really high mana curve, but you're not cheating it out, you're just playing it normally, okay, you're going to have issues with, like, with mana and everything, especially if you don't have enough mana rocks. If you're playing with, like, 33 lands, and you're not playing, like low-costing CMC spells or elves, what's the point?
Let me be upfront here. 33 is my favorite number of lands to put in a deck. Same. But that is gambling. You don't know if you're going to hit it and stuff. That's a 2-to-1 ratio. And if that 2-to-1 ratio pans out to you drawing no lands for 7 turns, that's your own fault. That's a cutthroat ratio. You want to go as good as you can, but you need to have low cost cards because there's a lot of games where I hit nothing. Or, like I was talking about yesterday with Consuming Aberration, Brian casts 5 spells and thins my deck out straight down 5 lands.
Which can be absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
But, like, you never know how it's going to go, like, with missing your land drops. It doesn't mean that your deck is bad. And that's not what we're saying. Well, it doesn't mean that every single deck needs to... Yeah, it doesn't mean that every deck needs to be edited. But just like, don't it can be happen. So, but, like, yesterday, like, I had 4 lands on, like, turn 8.
Yeah.
Well, but I ended up coming in second in that game. So you never know.
Yeah.
EDH is such an explosive game because you never know what is going to happen in the next turn.
Yeah.
I have played lots of decks where I will tempt with Discovery and Hive Mind it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or, you know, lots of like copies it. My Rashmi loves to copy that card. And yeah, man, everyone might not take my tempt with Discovery offer, but if you're sitting there, your game can turn around entirely in just a 4-second instance by someone else's deck. So you never know what's going to happen. Don't be upset. There's been lots of times where everyone I know has seen the top player falls to the bottom real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Just turn it around, make it arch enemy and all that stuff. You know, point out like the threat, stuff like that. Like there's so many things you can do.
Well, and like being kind of like low on mana makes you the exact opposite of arch enemy. Like nobody's looking at you. Nobody's worried about you because you're not doing anything. So you can kind of like set up real quiet.
Well, and generally a lot of play groups are going to team up on someone who's bullying, someone who's having a bad game.
Correct. Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing. Like the early stages of the game, okay, you're going to get in that chip damage. You're going to take like 1 damage here, 2 damage here, another 1 here, stuff like that. But once the game progresses to like turn 5 or 6, okay, once again, we're in casual here, right? If it's competitive, it's already game over. But in casual, though, by then, you're already starting to see people that are in, like gonna win or really, like, a huge threat. And you're gonna have other people target that one person instead of you if you are doing, like, if you're missing the land drops and you don't have a board state.
Yeah.
Okay. So use that to your advantage. Don't just sit there and be like, me. No, be like, hey guys, I know I can't help out much, but I'll do what I can. We need to target this one person. Okay? And the other two will agree with you and they'll go after the person.
True.
I'll be able to help out once I get my extra 6 lands.
Yes.
Just you wait, guys.
Honestly, some of my favorite memories in Magic is just seeing someone 0-100 so quick. Just, they aren't doing anything, they're not drawing it, and suddenly Bane of Progress pops up in their hand, and they have a 60-60 on deck because Brian's drawing with Smothering Tithes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love moments like that in games. Yeah. Just anything like that. I just really, really enjoy overall seeing someone come from behind and win.
Yeah. It's really nice.
Always cheer for the underdog.
So, let's keep going. This point, I really, really like, okay, because I've called people out on this a few times before, okay, and it's don't shame people for spending money on Magic cards, okay? If they're spending more than you, fine, okay? Maybe they have a job and you don't, or maybe they have extra income and You know, they make more than you do and all that stuff. Who knows, okay? But if they're spending
Or even it's just different priorities.
Yeah, like, different priorities.
Yeah, you might be buying a car, they might not, and be buying Magic cards.
Yeah, maybe they have a you have a family and they're single.
Like, there's just...
Or you bought one card and bought a box.
But we all have the one person in a group, okay, or maybe a few people in a group that spend more than some other people, okay? Yep. All I have to say is don't shame them for that, okay? Like, and what I tell people is that you have two choices in Magic. Either one, you spend money on cards, or two, you spend time on Magic, okay? So if they're spending cards, fine. You spend the time instead. You do your research. You find things that are doing the same thing but are cheaper or better or whatever. It
doesn't matter. Decks to play against your meta will beat expensive decks a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I normally build decks. Yeah, they're janky, but I have some... You guys agree, I do have some powerful decks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. My decks normally...
That two-lane went off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that two-lane deck isn't that expensive. Overall, it's probably maybe $200.
Yeah, it's which isn't a crazy budget.
It's not budget, but it's not expensive, okay? Other people that have decks that are like 500, 600, 800, okay? Like,
2000.
Yeah, it could be 2000, who knows, right? Maybe they put a lot of thought into it. But with me, I try to put a lot of thought into it, and I always try to bring down the budget of the deck before I build it. Only reason why I built this one is just because I already had all the cards. So I technically spent zero, but overall the cost of it is like around $200.
Well, that's like even with like, I have some expensive decks, but I would say like my favorite decks are more often than not the less expensive ones.
Yeah, because you get to play cards that you normally don't see in anything.
I like to build silly decks, and silly decks are usually not where a huge budget goes towards.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, you can, my meta and playgroup for the more competitive guys. My little brother Connor has a very, very, very fast Emery deck that can turn to win very easy.
Yes.
So I built a deck that only destroys artifacts.
Hilarious.
Doesn't do anything else. So he tries. It's just artifact and land, artifact, land, and enchantment destruction. That's it. It's not a super good deck. It's Omnoth, and I generally try to kill people with that Omnoth in a Rogue's Passage or Sure Strike Trident. But yeah, the whole point of the deck, if you're not playing an artifact heavy deck, I'm just sitting there with nothing in my hand like an idiot.
But if you're playing that Emery deck,
But that's just it, right? If you build that deck, probably costs $40. All that's in it is just naturalize, oxidize, acidic slimes, like just things like that.
Yeah.
It's not very good, but it's very good against that.
Don't bring that out against any of my decks, please.
But except for your enchantment deck?
No, because most of my decks are quite enchantment heavy.
Yeah, but that's just it, right? You have to build towards your meta and stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's just like if you're the first person out with one deck, then you build to protect yourself a little more, right? That's the same thing. Budget does not make the game.
Yeah, and like
not at all.
And like you gotta like another thing is like you do research and you find out what cards work well. I'm not talking about like making combo decks. I'm talking about pure synergy here.
Yep.
Okay.
Love it.
You guys see my decks. My decks are all about pure synergy. I don't play decks that are like, you know, like good stuff decks or anything like that. I love my synergy. I like having one card being able to interact with four or five different cards.
Yeah.
You know, like heck, I messaged Brian once before. I was like, Brian, I think I'm not allowed to deck brew anymore because I just came out with a deck that has 38 infinite combos in it. So
infinite combo synergy.
Yeah.
But that is just it, right? Like, sure, their underground C might be $900.
Synergy.
Like I was saying, their underground C might be $900, but your acidic slime is 10 cents.
Yeah, and boom.
Back to basics is like $6.
Yeah.
It wrecks my ally deck. I get it.
That was hilarious.
I didn't untap for... I think 10 turns.
Yeah, eight to 10 turns.
Just sat there with tropical...
No, I didn't play it.
With tropical islands, yeah. So I had tropical island, bio, badlands.
But I had all basics.
So I don't know who that is, totally but I love them.
But that's the thing, though. Like, in the end, like, you know, money helps. But at the same time, though, if you don't have the money, you just spend more time doing the research. Maybe you spend more time playing games with the same deck that you have. Okay. So you get used to it. You know what to look for in whatever situation you encounter. Okay.
And like, try to play with different people too.
I think that money does give you a bit of an advantage if you're playing with random people and stuff like that. Yes. They don't know what's going on, but money can't beat the meta.
No. But sometimes you sit down and you get surprised by someone else who's like, oh, this 10-cent card, I do this and...
There's lots of decks that, there's nothing you can do. If you have, like, if my deck, like I said, it's an ally deck, that's one that I like to play all the time. If everyone's just wiping the board, those allies aren't good without other allies.
Correct.
Yep.
What am I going to tap for, like, 5-cost ally to tap and draw one ally?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's just not great, right? Yeah. So the meta and what's in the game is going to win. If people can't remove my allies, sure, it's great. If people can't leave my lands untapped, or leave my lands tapped, then it plays really well. But not every deck, there is no one deck rules the world.
No, by no means.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm glad there's no one deck that rules the world, or else Magic would be boring.
Well, that's standard. Here's Oko, and here's blah, 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 blah. I saw Oko for the first time in Commander yesterday, and it was very funny.
Yes, it was.
Tyrone, right?
Yeah, Tyrone. Just Tyrone turned a 40-40 Korvold into an elk.
That's right. He told me about that. I was laughing like crazy.
The greatest elk I'd ever seen.
That's hilarious.
That's so funny.
The king of elks.
This is incredible.
So with this next point here, I have to say, I wanted to bring this up because Sherman got complimented on this yesterday.
Yes,
announcing what you're playing and casting.
Our friend Taylor does that a lot too.
Everything she plays,
she does all of the steps. Go to combat.
I love it.
And I do like it because everyone's seen someone who just tries to. So anyways, pass.
Lost to a lab ban that way.
Yep. You don't see what's going on.
Well, and then you miss, you miss triggers.
Well, I was milling. I was playing mill.
Yeah.
And he did not announce that he played a lab ban. He's just like, oh, here you go. So I was like so caught up in the victory that I didn't see what was on his board. Well, and he's like, oh, I win. I was like,
when you don't announce it and stuff too, right, people start to question
it.
Yesterday,
did you play that?
Yesterday I did question something because someone hadn't been announcing. And I was just like, nah, it's not that big. Let's count how it got that big. And yeah, I was right. Because I pay a lot of attention. But most people would just be like, oh, well, he must have cast something. And if you're not announcing, it can be seen as like you're trying to be underhanded with your
players. Well, and it's also very helpful to not only just to newer players, but to any player. Because again, like you said, million times, like there's so many different cards in Magic, but like if you announce what the card is and I don't know what it is, I've never heard of it, I'll ask you what it does.
For me personally, I don't always announce everything. Like I give a really quick rundown of what it is. So like playing a creature is 2/2. If the like creature type doesn't matter, I just skip it. But I just give it like vigilance, it does this,
okay? And it's all about your synergy, like you said too, right?
But it was like I do that, so one, everybody knows what I am doing. Mm-hmm. That is the most important. Two, you guys don't ask me, what does that do? It speeds up the game.
Well, yeah, there's nothing worse than playing your turn, someone's not paying attention, and then suddenly you're just repeating your last turn during someone else's turn while they're trying to play their turn, and they're repeating their turn. And
And three, you have the power to literally stop the game until everyone pays attention again.
Yep.
And then you continue. Because everyone's like, whose turn is it? It's mine. Well, why aren't you playing? Because you're talking.
Because
you're not paying attention. Part of the game. I'm sorry, but if you're a part of the game, I don't want to play with you.
Yeah. Well, being focused is a big thing. But I also, especially Sherman and I, specifically out of everyone I know, like to play dumb cards no one else plays.
True.
And I always read those because I know that no one is going to know what it does when I sit there and play it and stuff
like that. My jaw drops every time.
Yeah.
Same.
There's just some things. Perilous Forays. I haven't seen anyone else play that in EDH.
I've never heard of that card in my entire life.
It's a very fun card. It lets you sack creatures to go get cards that have a basic land type, which is a really important thing to tell people.
Basic land type?
Yeah. It's a real important thing to tell people when I start sacking Sapperlings to go get a Badlands.
That is dope.
Yeah.
It's a really good card.
But that's just it. It's not something many people play and run. And so I always read things like that because I know no one does it. And then I know people get salty. Maybe they had a counter spell. It's resolved now. It's two turns later. And
I remember that card because I was like, how did you fetch that?
Yeah.
And then you read it to me and I was like,
I was pulling out Savannahs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, and it's just like, how are you getting that?
It's very dope. Is it an enchantment?
Yeah, how it neat. Is. But that's the thing. Like, there's so many cards that you're not... Like, we're going to know... Out of the 20,000 cards, okay? Everyone off the top of the head knows maybe, like, 200 cards. Just like that, okay? Sure, but you're still looking at 19,800 cards that you have no idea what they are.
What? Yeah. And some people... pardon me again. Some people, just in general, if you're sitting down, the owner of our local game store is going to know way more cards than the average person.
Yeah.
Or a new player who just picked up an Ixalan like Hope.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing. You go in with a list and you're just like, can I get this? And he's like, boom, this one.
Organized here. Through binders.
Oh, it's incredible.
Just grabbing binders. Every single and time. Just like, how?
And that, yeah, that's just it. And some people do. Like, there's lots of game stores I go to and there's lots of people that just have that knowledge on deck. Oh, this is from Theros. Oh, this is from, it was originally printed in blah, blah, blah. Yeah. They all know the specifics of it. They see so many cards. And that is the best way to learn cards is to see them.
Yeah.
But that's their job, right? So again, they're going to know and they're going to have weird interaction cards that you might not know. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to ask people what something does.
Yeah.
Don't just see something on the board and be like, I don't know what it is, but it's probably fine.
Yeah,
I ask people what everything does. I wish more people would be like Sherman, because I even try to do the same thing. Like,
yeah.
I'll play something, I'll be like, oh, it does this, blah, 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 and just quickly spurt it out. Just because quick blurb
about what it does.
Yeah, well, because I know for me, it's very hard. Again, like Daniel said, like, I picked up an Exelon. Like, it was so recent.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I started
She playing. Knows what these pirates do, let me tell you.
Let me tell you something about dinosaurs. But
at the same time, like, with announcing what you're playing and casting, okay? Mm. Another thing is that it allows everyone a chance to respond.
Exactly.
Okay? So, like, I'm not, like, if you top all your mana and you float 20 mana, okay, mm. I'm fine with that. Please, 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 first off, that reminds me, use dice to represent how much mana is floating, because you're going to lose track, I'm going to lose track, and I'm going to question a lot of things. So just make it easier, okay?
And then we have to redo the math.
Well, systems. And then yeah. I Second. Constantly, if I think people are changing their math, I'm sitting there like the fire miner, recount this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You can't
you
count.
You need six black for this and you only have four. Let's try it again.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, but it also gives people a chance to respond when you announce things, okay? And you have, okay, I cast this. Does anyone have questions? You know, so it's not just like, I'm going to count that. No, you're literally giving everyone a chance to think and process what's going on.
Yep.
Okay. When you're announcing it and then they're like, okay, does anyone want to respond? No. Okay. I'm going to keep on going. Okay.
There is another point I do want to quickly talk about that. And I am horribly guilty for it. Let people respond in turn order.
Yes. There I am is bad for that
so
too.
Often. Yeah. Someone is like Cypher. I'm like, nope, cancel. And I haven't let anyone else at the table respond, say no, 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 anything like that.
I usually sit there and just wait to see if anyone else says anything. And then if the guy, whoever the player is, goes like, it does this go through? And I'm looking and then they go, nope. I'm like,
yeah. And that's just it. But there's, I get way too antsy in my little pantsies when I see something like that. And it's time to counterspell.
You really don't like Cyclonic Rift, so we understand.
But that's what I mean, right? There's some things. Somebody drops down an Ulamog with haste. Sort of plowshare.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just, it is a really, really big deal to actually let things resolve that way, because not only are you going to, if you start doing this and focusing that way, you're going to save your answers longer, especially if you're the last person who has priority to respond and you let it get around. You have to remember, Psycrypt is affecting everyone else too. Let's see what they can do first.
Yeah. See, that's like a really, really important thing in Magic that I find a lot of people don't understand, is that you want to respond as late as possible.
Yeah, you want to save yours. If I have a Swords to Plowshare, Brian has a Swords to Plowshare, we both want the same creature gone, I want Brian to use his.
Yeah. And that's the thing, the same rule applies for even like 1-on-1 60 card Magic, okay? Because like when you're playing something, like if you want to bolt something, you wait at the last second.
Yeah.
You don't bolt it right away. You wait until like their mana's tapped out, or you know, something along those lines, right? Where they cannot respond easily. So you always try to cast things as late as possible. Same deal here. Why is Flash so powerful? It's because you can do it right at the end step before your turn. Think like
I love to do that. I love to wait until people are right tapped down right before before their turn starts because they've taken all their actions, and then I'll beast within you.
You know what I like to do? I like to use the sis mechanic when I know someone's playing counter spells. I'm like, hey, yo, I'll kind of deal with you. If you pay 3 mana and I pay another 3 mana, you can draw like 3 cards along with me. And I say like success rate is 50-50 here, because sometimes it'll be like no, other times it'll be like, yeah, sure, and it'll tap out. I'm like, okay, I'll draw my cards, but I have my answer here, like the Cyclonic Rift.
Yep.
You know?
And I'll make the deal, and yep.
Yeah, and now they can't counter because I know they tapped out for mana because I'm just giving them cards. Like, ah, yes. So, but anyways, that actually goes on to the next point here.
Brian looks devastated.
You broke I'm never Brian. Making deals with you again.
Yeah, puppet master.
Yeah.
I do really quickly before we get into the next one, I want to just talk about just a start of the game etiquette.
Ooh, yes.
Present your deck to cut. There is nothing worse than like someone who just sits down at the table, they draw, and maybe they did shuffle their deck. Maybe there's nothing underhanded going on. But if you turn
There's probably nothing underhanded.
And that's just it. But if you turn one Soul Ring into like a Mana Vault, I'm gonna not be happy with it. I'm gonna look and be sour for the night that I think you cheated.
Yeah.
Put it down. It's just a sign of respect. Say, hey, please cut this and stuff. It doesn't matter if you and your friends at home cut. It doesn't matter if it just, it is a sign of respect to everyone at the table to just put it down and say, here you go.
Yeah. It's I'm not, bad for that. I know that.
Yeah. And it's not bad manner and stuff. Lots of people do it and stuff, but I just think it is the best etiquette thing you can do. It's a form of trust at the start of the game. Then everything's in their hands.
I feel like it establishes a really good precedent also for at the table, especially if there's people that you don't know. Because I know that yesterday I was playing with somebody I'd never played with before, and you presented your deck. No, somebody else presented their deck to be cut, and he's like, oh, well, you don't think I trust you? And it's like, that's not what it is.
It's not about trust. And it's don't take the top card and put it on the bottom. Just cut the deck.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the main thing is like for when people sit down and like you don't see them shuffle or anything.
Yeah, right just off the like bat. Right out of the
box. If I see you shuffle, then you draw. It's one thing, but you put the deck, take the deck out of the box, and draw. I'm like,
I bring a lot of decks to play, same. And a lot of the time, just to save time, I will have pre-shuffled like 30 decks.
Same.
That's so what I did yesterday. Soon as I'm done, I will put it out. Wait till everyone's there.
Yeah,
I'll shuffle it even a few more times, and then I'll say. Cut this.
Yeah, typically I'll have mine mana cut, so the two cards, one land, and then once I take it out, I shuffle it.
Yeah, then you're ready to go.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, I personally am a big fan of mana cutting a deck before you shuffle, because there's nothing worse than I play green a lot.
I pulled all my lands, and now they're all clumped up.
And that's just it and stuff. There's a lot of... I played Windgrace last night. I had 31 lands on the field. I'm not going to put that in and just shuffle them. This is going to work out.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So, let's keep on going here.
Yes, but anyways, that's my one side point.
Really good point, though. It's really good. I am really bad for that, to be honest.
Well, it's just nice.
Yeah. So, the next point is really, really important.
One of the probably the most important points that we're talking about today, I would say.
It's don't be a poor winner or loser.
Sportsmanship. It's the 20s.
Sportsmanship, yeah. It's the 20s. But, like, you know.
Old
like,
chap.
Sure, like, you'll see people that are poor losers, but at the same time, you'll also see people that are poor winners.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is almost worse.
Yeah. Like, if you win, that's great. Fantastic. Good for you.
Be cool about it.
Neener, neener.
Don't run.
Don't neener, neener.
Fireball for 40. So results, right? Hey, what happened?
What does that mean? Did I break it?
Yeah, new high score. What does that mean?
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Like, don't just rub it in. Like, don't rub more salt into the wound. Okay, you can talk about it, you can point out certain things, sure, that's fine, okay?
Don't win that pack now.
But, like, one of the things I hate about people that win, okay, is they're like, oh, you should have done this, and then...
The post-game coaching.
Like a second after.
Or the opposite. You could have won had you done blah, 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 blah.
The poor loser thing where it's like...
If I had one more turn.
If I had one more turn,
7 more mana, 3 fireballs. Yesterday. I wasn't playing commander.
There was a moment yesterday where I was playing and I, in theory, should have won a game twice. and I didn't because I wasn't paying attention. And so instead I just lost, and that's fine. I wasn't like, well, if I would have done this and this and this, it was somebody else that was like, oh, you should have done that. I was like, ah, well, whatever. I lost.
After the game. Yeah. I don't mind, especially if someone's new and stuff. I like to point out if someone doesn't understand a card interaction.
Yeah.
I like to point it out at the end of the game. Hey, just so you know, your Undergrowth champion actually functions like this. I would have beat Hope yesterday had I learned how to read words on the card. I thought Multani was how many cards are in the graveyard. I thought it was a 2-2 at the time because, again, I had 31 lands on deck. And I didn't swing with it because I was like, I don't want him to die. Yeah. And it was a, like...
It's lands you control and lands in the graveyard.
33-33. Mm. It would have won me the game. He has trample. Big old boy. But yeah, I just...
That's a big difference.
Just like a fool. Didn't read my card. And lost the game for it. And that was it. But she explained it after she killed me. And that's fine. And it was
because that makes you a better player. But yeah. it's when you've lost a game, somebody's excited that they won. You're ready to move on. It's like, well, if I was playing this...
And especially if you win in a salty way. Like, it's just... There's one of the people we play with. I will name no names, but one of their favorite combos is Armageddon when they have Smothering Tides out.
Oh!
Don't run around the table with. And he doesn't. He doesn't. He's a very good sport about it. But he understands what happened. He doesn't rip his shirt off and run around the table like, oh, you didn't play anything. You didn't play anything. You didn't play anything. He's like, all right, I get it and stuff. And he understands. I will name no names.
This name is not me. After. This is not me.
I know it isn't.
For once, it isn't Brian, but he's getting ideas. But yeah, like, it's just
that's
like,
hilarious.
Sometimes you're going to win in ways that everyone might not like.
Yeah.
Let's just,
so just be cool. Yeah.
It's in the end, this is a game, people. Yeah. Okay. Are you playing for money? Are you gambling with your lives?
Even if you are playing for money.
That's true.
I find is really, really good for sportsmanship is if you lose the game, just try and compliment the way that someone won.
Yeah.
It's probably interesting. It's probably you didn't see it coming and stuff. It was really cool. You blasphemous acted my board. And
they're probably really excited.
And that's just it, right? Yeah. Just because you're a little salty that Brian kills you with consuming aberration when you play Torbrand, I get it.
Brian kills me with Torment of Hellfire again.
It's the same thing, though. In other games, you throw a nice ball, you get a nice hit and pull, everyone compliments your shot. It's the exact same
thing. I played a game.
Nice play, good game.
Yeah, I was playing Zindersplit in Oakland.
Go get a shower.
And the game went horribly for me. I don't think I won a coin flip for 6 turns. That's the whole point of the deck. If you're not winning a coin flip, it's not a very good deck. Also, just not a very good deck. But I cast 2 of them. People had killed my commanders a bunch of times. I got Okum out, and I won 16 coin flips in a row. And I was real excited. And then somebody at the table had the audacity to tell me, well, it's useless because it doesn't have haste. So I flung it at them. Cast Fling. Hit them for 1,000. I thought it was hilarious. It was a great play. They were furious. They picked up and left without saying a word.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? Like, how many times do you think someone's going to have a Fling in their hand, enough mana to cast it and their commander for the 3rd time, and then also win 16 coin flips in a row?
That's never gonna happen again.
Yeah.
I would just stand up and be like, touchdown! I died.
It wasn't a crack thumb. There was no cheatsies. I just won a lot of coin flips in a row, and I was very excited about it. And that is
statistically broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a big part of that. Just because you're unhappy you lost doesn't mean that your little outburst about it might not wreck it for someone. People spend a lot of time building decks. And boo-hoo that you lost the game. Don't wreck someone's good time.
Yeah.
They might have thought of the deck all week. That's the only thing they look forward to. And they're just like, I really want to see how this interacts. They might have assembled their very, very strange 7-piece combo to win the game.
And it finally went off.
Yeah, finally. They could have played 60 games and never seen that card because Commander is a big deck.
That's exactly it. Like, there was one that I remember the very first time that I was able to ult a Planeswalker. Because it never happens.
Yeah.
You were able to do that? I don't think I've done one.
I did it last week, and it was, like, the best moment, because, like, it just doesn't happen. They just get killed. It doesn't matter what you say, they just get killed. So, I just don't even have words. I'm like speechless still about how excited I was. And I won a game and everyone was just cool about it. And that was just that. And it was the best. But if one person was like, oh, well, like I could have just blah, 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 it would have ruined it.
Yeah. And it just, you do wreck people's games.
It's that just way. Like, just yeah. let people have fun.
My, the most interesting way
I've ever lost. I'll stop talking about it. You stop talking about it.
The most interesting way I've ever lost is to a deck that only has one win. It's my group hug deck. And my group hug deck is not very good.
Nope.
But, well, it's good at making other people win. Yeah. It just never wins. That's not the point of it. The point of it is to do it. But Hope, when she was playing it, pieced together a really, really intricate, like, way of untapping her mana after a spell. So she, approached the second sun, got an untap off, Gen waved, Temple Bell to draw a card, approach the second sun again while everyone else was passed out. She had temp.
I had all the mana untapped, and Daniel's like, why would you only gen wave for six? And I'm like, oh, my friend.
Yeah. And it was a really good one. And if anyone had been salty, it probably would have, that's just a horrible win.
Fun fact, that's my favorite win I've ever had.
Yeah, but that's just it, right?
But I don't talk about it.
Celebrate other people's wins and stuff. The game is about having fun. You should be playing mostly with your friends and making new friends when you play. We started this podcast with people I met playing Magic.
Yeah.
I only knew you for like 6 months.
I met Sherman the first day that he came over to podcast.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
I'd never even met this man and he was
in my still house. Hate each other, everyone. That's we true. Still do.
I try to lock him out every single day.
But that's just it. This morning.
But that's just it, right? The whole point, if you're not having fun, if you're not going to have a good time, why are you going out?
Yeah. What's the point? Just play
arena.
Yeah,
if you want, exactly. If you want faceless, salty Magic, play online where you don't have to interact with anyone. And
salt's real on there.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's just it. It's people a lot of the time, those hardcore players generally are just people who don't have a playgroup anymore.
Let's be honest, it's the internet.
But that's just it. You want to get out, you want to interact with everyone, you want to have a good time. And sportsmanship is, no one would want to play soccer with you if every time someone scored a goal, you went and kicked over their waters.
You ruined their entire cooler full of orange slices.
Yeah, exactly.
But that kind of goes into our next point.
My goalie lets something in and I headbutt them? No. I'm not getting invited anymore.
But that kind of goes into a little bit into our next point here that we want to talk about is giving and taking criticism.
Yep.
I'll be honest. I fail at this. What? I hate criticism.
I can't handle any criticism.
I love seeing...
Are you a sensitive soul, Brian?
I was in cadets. Like, I got told, like, my uniform was garbage all the time, but I'm just like... but I guess it depends upon who it's coming from.
Yeah.
It is really how you say it. If you come from a, listen, I'm better than you and I'm telling you what's up. Whenever I'm criticizing something, I just like to say like, hey, have you ever actually considered playing this card? It might synergize really, really well with the deck. Because I don't think you don't like taking criticism. We talked initially about, when I first met Brian's commander for one of his, in my opinion, strongest decks was Karametra.
Yes.
And Karametra is a very, very good card. Nothing wrong with it. But we discussed a little bit back and forth that I thought Selvala, the Selesnya one.
You're the one that's at fault!
Yes.
You jerk!
As soon as he said Karametra, I'm like, it's a Selvala deck.
Yeah. And it just, in my opinion, it just made that deck play so much smoother.
It really does.
Lets everyone kind of draw the cards.
Parlay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to be salty at that card because at least he is doing it. But. Well, in a big
smothering
game.
Tights out.
Yeah, well, and also in a big game and stuff, if there's like six players, one tap can be, if you turn three Selvala, even a slow game, turn four Tapper, and there's six players, all six hit a non-land, that's nine six mana. Life. Yeah, six life, and nine six mana on deck. Well, no, because you still have three on deck.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there real, real late into the game.
What there's, big creature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or but, like, that's the thing, though, like criticism, like... How can I say it? It's like, if Daniel comes up to me and says, like, hey, you know, like, I think you should have this, okay? Here's the reasons why. I, in return, should be, yes, I could consider that or whatever, and we can discuss it. Or I could be like, no, I've thought about it, or I've tried it out, or
yeah,
I don't
tried
think
that
so because,
before.
And I give reasons why. I don't just say, like, no, Daniel, that is just stupid. I'll never... No. I'll consider it. But if I, like, people will constantly, like, I experience this a lot, because in our LGS, a lot of people ask me for opinions and deck building tips and all that stuff, okay?
We'll start charging for that.
No. But, like, people will come up with, like, with my own decks. They're like, hey, why don't you put this in? I don't just say flat out no. I'm like, no, and here are the reasons why.
I considered. Well, and you like to play a lot of budget stuff, right? And maybe that breaks the deck's budget. Maybe it's the, like you said, book tribal. Yes, this might work great in the deck, but it doesn't go with what I was going for.
Yeah.
Like, so Cyclonic Rift, like, you can throw that in. Maybe there's books there in that giant rapid.
Yeah, but, like, I don't care about that, you know? Like if someone offers a suggestion to me, I'll consider it, but I'll also have reasons why I don't accept it. Like once when I was playing my Athreos deck, right? You know, for the first time, we were playing against, like, another person that, like, saw it. It's like, oh, like, you're playing Athreos. Do you have this card and this card and this card? I'm like, no. And they look at me and they're like, why? Why not?
What's wrong with you?
It's like, we just started. Wait, I haven't even drawn my first 7 cards yet. And you're already trying to.
What is that black card? It's the black persistent petitioners that lets you get demons. Is that the one they're talking about?
I think so.
Yeah.
But
Shadowborn Apostle. That's the one.
Yeah. But I'm not playing that deck. I am playing an Avengers deck.
Yeah, you played the deck you built.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So don't, like, if you see the deck and then you make suggestions after, I'm fine with that. Well, but don't start yelling at me and listing off cards.
Well, if you don't, like we said earlier in this podcast, you know, just because you've seen a commander before doesn't mean you know the deck.
Yeah.
We had that before, last night and stuff. Someone, oh, well, I know what Joda can do. And I'm like, you don't know this Joda deck. You've never seen it.
Yeah. If you listen to podcasts, maybe, but.
but that's just it, right? Like, just because of that's how your idea. Sherman and I both have a Muldrotha deck. They're very, very different.
They're so different.
You know what I mean? You're not going to give Sherman advice on Sherman's Muldrotha if you've only seen mine.
Last night, we had 3 Atraxa decks played. And
none were similar.
Incredibly different.
Yeah. Everyone has their own play style. Everyone has their own ideas or anything. Like, with the Muldrotha, okay? Your Muldrotha is crazy awesome. You turn through and everything and all that stuff. My Muldrotha, its only goal is to get out the Mowu token. That's all I care about.
but that would be no different than, like, if somebody started asking me why I don't have this and this and this Planeswalker in my Attractive deck. I'd be like,
Why don't you have an Oath of Teferi?
Yeah.
Well, I have no Planeswalkers.
I have no Planeswalkers.
What's the point?
Why don't you have Planeswalkers?
I hate Planeswalkers.
Like, I get.
Fine. I think they're cool.
Like, I understand the Magic community is all about sharing ideas, giving advice and everything, but, like,
You might get a really good idea from listening to someone too, right? Yeah. I've had lots of ideas where I just, I didn't think of that, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, like, don't be upset if someone suggests something. Like, no one's doing it out of spite. No. I'm not like, hey, Brian, you should take all those enchantments out and just put more lands in, because.
Yeah.
Enchantments are dumb.
It's a land deck. All 99 cards are lands. There you go.
I might make just a funny Omnoth deck where that's the whole deck. Is just
big.
Is just like 99 forests and Omnath. Try win a game like that.
And 99 forests and Omnath's not one.
Oh, and a Rogue's Passage. Let's be real. Maybe that's my new deck building challenge. I'll have 10 cards that aren't lands total. The rest are forests.
You know what we should do? It'll be fun if, like, for April Fools, like, each of us write down, like, a limitation for a deck building to, and we all, like, randomly pick one.
No, Hope makes Hope of Juniper and only wastes.
Something that's reasonable.
Daniel has to only make a $50 deck.
Oh!
A what?
A hoo-hoo?
You mean $50 per card? I can do this.
No.
So all my lands are alpha?
Oh, God.
So I think for this topic of giving and taking criticism, I think, like, it comes down to just how you're going to put it across.
Yeah.
Because just a few words can take a positive interaction and just turn it into,
or
especially if you
person.
Come off like a really bad loss and you're kind of agitated by it. Maybe go take a walk and then come back after you finish another game and be like, hey, just want to let you know that, like, that game, like, great job winning. And I never saw that combo coming, but I was wondering out of curiosity, have you seen this card before?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. you know.
And I think it also at the end of the day comes down to the fact that it is a game, but also there's a big community, and like that's what needs to be brought to the forefront, is that it's a community game. Mm-hmm. It's
and
a
social if you're giving game. Your criticism too and stuff. Also understand that, like, yeah, we get it. Cyclonic Rift might be great in the deck, but maybe that's not in their budget, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bazaar of Baghdad would be great in every Muldrow of the deck. Not everyone wants to spend the money on it or can find one.
Yeah, I would love the dual lands, but I don't have to.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know how good your deck would be if you just upgraded $4,000 of lands?
Yeah. Why don't you put a land tax or a Sylvan Library in every single green deck you have? That's just like an auto-include. No. You know, but that's just the thing. It's just, like you said, Brian, it's how you present it and how you receive it as well, right? So, like, I can be like, hey, Brian, you should put in a Sylvan Library. I think it would be a great idea if you put in something similar to a Sylvan Library. Like, you know, like, it might not be as expensive, but, like, a Lifecraft Bestiary or, like, a Miri's Guile. As opposed to, like, Brian, why don't you have a Sylvan Library in your deck? What the hell? Like, that is an auto-included all green decks. There's a big difference there. Not even a subtle difference. There's a big difference of how I'm telling you which what to do.
Yeah.
Right? Having Miri's Guile over the Sylvan Library.
Yes, you did.
So much cheaper.
That's a great one.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a foil one, and I'm really pissed off that I skipped over it in a binder still.
It is a good-looking card.
I'm salty about that.
I'm so salty about that still. I'll never forget that. But I want to bring up this very last point here before we end everything off.
This is the dessert of etiquette.
Yeah, this one, I think, is one of the most important things of all of them, okay? And that is respect the play area.
No drinks on the table.
Well, if you have drinks on the table or not, fine, whatever. Okay,
but like, Coke's on the table.
Oh, boy. It's true. But what I cannot stand, especially in an LGS, is when people come in, people are going to come in with food, eat, drink, and all that stuff. If you leave your crap there, if you're done and you don't throw out your garbage,
oh, I know.
People
don't pick it up. Yeah.
What?
Oh, lots of people.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people do that.
Oh, I always do.
I always go around. I always clean up and everything because I...
Lots of people come in. They'll bring like burger packs and like just leave like wrappers sitting on the table.
Yeah.
Then the end of the night, it's time to go and they just leave it. A lot of people leave tons of garbage, tons of pop cans, everything like that.
Yeah, this is not your house.
Oh, when people move around and they don't take their garbage, I take their garbage to them.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. You forgot this.
I generally, the only time I don't move it is if someone is going to the garbage can. I'm like, oh, Brian, could you take this with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Make one trip, not five.
Yeah.
But that's just it. Like, there's nothing worse than I have been sick for 2 weeks and all I've done is just eat a ton of hulls.
And we know.
I'm eating them right now. They're lovely. But there's usually a big little stack of Halls wrappers on the table.
Sure.
It would be obnoxious to just be like, well, good night. You guys hire a cleaner, right?
Yeah. But that's the thing, right? Like, that's just a common courtesy.
Yeah. But it's very surprising. It should be. Like, if you accidentally forget, like, sometimes we will, or sometimes you drop someone we don't know or whatever, fine.
We have a really, really good game store for it, but you have not seen the horrors of some of the other places.
Yeah.
Where it's just they only come in once a month for a pre-release, and they just, like, leave the store a mess.
Yeah. I would be devastated.
Sticky stuff all over the floors because, like, they're half full pop cans of, like, laid over. Like,
yeah.
Oh, because people sat it on the ground and then it gets knocked over. Yeah. And some of our LGSs have carpets like that.
Yeah. It's just, but that's the thing. It's like, you know, even if it's not just LGS, even if you're going to a buddy's place or whatever, you know, when you're done playing, like, help them clean up, you know, reorganize the tables, the chairs, all of that. Like you said, Hope, it is common courtesy. If people came over to your house and they started leaving a huge mess everywhere, then I would not want to invite those people over again.
You would never come back into my home.
No.
Like, I was there early on Friday, and one of the employees at the LGS was mopping the floor or clearing an area to mop the floor.
Yeah, I always grab chairs and help.
Yeah. Can I help? Can I help move the tables, chairs? Because I'm there.
Yeah, they
2 days a week. They host our fun.
Yeah. That's, you know what I mean. Like, they host our fun, and a lot. Our game store, great game store, love it.
We are not
charged to play Commander right now.
No.
Yeah,
and that's just it. We are hosted there. Basically, just come in, play. Lots of us build decks there. Lots of us buy things there.
Easily
the store.
Could be.
But yeah, that's
we almost should be.
We have, in my opinion, the best play space I have seen. I have seen Magic Fest
so much space
that don't have like as good of a play space and as good of a flow there. Like, it is a wonderful, wonderful store. It's Ogre's Den. Hooray.
Hurrah!
Shout out.
But that being said, we could easily be charged to play there and stuff, right?
Yeah.
It is
I wouldn't be happy
it
to
is
play
the
there.
Bare minimum table. Courtesy
I don't care.
To just be able to pick that stuff up and not make the extra mess for them.
Yeah. And like, yeah, they have people that work there that clean up and everything, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
Okay. Once again, we're saying common courtesy here, okay?
And like, certainly, I'm sure that they have to clean the shop every night. However, like, don't make it
they're
worse. They're not your mates.
Yeah. It's not your house. They're not your parents. We're not your parents. We're not going to constantly clean up after you, you know? Like, you need to clean up after yourself. You're an adult.
Also, my parents wouldn't even do that, so.
Yeah, I know. But that is the last topic I wanted to talk about, because to me, that is really, really important. Because
I think that is one of the best manners points that could be brought up. This isn't your bedroom. Like, come on, like, let's be real.
It's a common space, and it's a space that, like, I, you know, care about.
Yeah.
So, like, you want to treat it that
way. Properly, empty out your, you know, like, put your empties in the proper recycling. If you spill something, clean it up.
Always
you know, ask for help. You know, if you open packs, throw everything out, you know. Like, stuff like that.
Oh, that's just the worst, is someone cracking a box and they leave 100 packs on the table.
Yeah.
Oof. But so, I also want to say, though, is that I know that we've said a lot of, like, things that we don't like, but I kind of want to end this on a positive note, is that I think...
Just not us griping the entire time?
Yeah, well, no, I just, like, there are, like, etiquette things that need to be addressed, and I just think that's important.
None of these are targeted at anyone.
No,
it just
makes everybody...
just general manners.
It makes everybody a better person to play with, but I would say that more often than not, I have positive experiences with people.
I have
playing,
a great time.
And I just, I don't know, I just... don't want to sound like we're just complaining. So
I always complain. I don't know what you're talking about.
Sherman's an old man.
I am an old man. I'm
old
the oldest
and
one
ornery.
Of all you.
I'm the youngest, so I'm the least jaded.
You guys can all look at pictures of us and everything.
Look at how youthful I am. Oh, my God.
I may look youthful, but damn, I'm old. So I'm starting to get pretty... Like, I was freaking out because I'm like, oh, no, I just found, like, one, like, white nose hair. I'm like,
here's
what am I supposed
thing.
To do?
Daniel's... got gray hairs coming out the wazoo. Daniel looks the oldest by far.
Was interesting backstory for everyone who ever sees me. I was in a bad car accident when I was 20 years old and cracked my skull, and a part of my beard has grown white ever since I was 20 years old on the right side of my face. It will not in any way change color or anything. It is a white patch on the side of my beard. I've looked old for over a decade.
One of my friends has that. He has just like a patch of white hair right in the very front. And it's the same. It's very cool.
See, I can like just shave again and just look super young again. That's had the, you know,
same.
The goatee and mustache.
I could do that, but then my girlfriend wouldn't be with me.
Anyways, I think that's the show. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Thank you for joining us in 2020, guys.
Yes.
If you have any comments, hit us up on Instagram, Facebook. We have a Discord if you want to get on the Discord. You know, message
DM us.
We can send out an invite.
Yeah, shoot us a DM.
Yeah. So
slide right into our DMs.
Just remember as well, anyone listening, you can subscribe to the podcast and get it automatically anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, or any other platform you
Stitcher.
Personally listen on. Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you again so much for listening, and welcome to any new listeners who show up, and thank you guys very much.
And happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Happy New Year.